This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's becoming more and more clear that residents across the state of Florida need to brace for a likely direct hit from what will be a major Hurricane Dorian, now expected to be a Category 4 storm when it hits the Florida coast either late on Monday or possibly early Tuesday. Officials are warning people they need to go out and get their supplies now while they still can. These people are picking things up like
canned meat. I got spam, tuna, and Vienna sausage.
And I also bought vinegar because I like using vinegar for cleaning situations, and it's good when you don't have water to have vinegar.
The Dallas police detective, who was famously seen in photographs in his cowboy hat, handcuffed to JFK's assassin Lee Harvey Oswald when Jack Ruby shot him, has died. Jim Lavelle was 99. This is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
Brace yourself as I'm about to tell you how many children in America have now died just this summer in hot cars. 37, counting a child who died yesterday in North Carolina when the little boy's mother drove to work and didn't remember that the boy was still in the car. Pineville Police Lieutenant Corey Copley says it's an emotional time for everyone, so they're not focusing on whether they're going to charge the mother yet.
And as you can imagine, losing a child, just very frantic, very upset, very, very emotional, to say the least.
The CEO of e-cigarette company Juul is telling people who do not currently smoke not to use his products. Kevin Burns says, don't vape. In an interview with CBS, Burns says that people who don't already use nicotine are not Juul's target customers. Burns has already apologized to families of teens addicted to e-cigs, which he says were intended only for adults. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
We told you at the top of the news how people are gearing up for the strike of Hurricane Dorian that's expected late in this holiday weekend as a Category 4 hurricane. Could be deadly. Well, some folks are getting a good laugh while others are very upset about a cookie cake that's being sold at a popular supermarket in that area in advance of the storm's arrival. USA Radio's Robin Walensky has that story.
While people in Florida board up their homes and stock up on supplies ahead of Hurricane Dorian, some liking and others upset by a cookie cake being sold at a public supermarket in St. John's. The baker putting blue icing on it, representing the ocean, then drawing the state of Florida using green icing, then the baker using white icing to draw the cone and path of the storm, and using bold red icing to show the eye hitting the state. An accurate design, to say the least. But whether it's in good or bad taste, being debated all over social media.
And a second Nevada county is now declaring a state of emergency ahead of the Alien Stock Music Festival near Area 51 next month. Nye County commissioners following the lead of nearby Lincoln County. That three-day festival evolved from a viral Facebook event encouraging people to storm Area 51 in the hopes of finding aliens. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Live. Hey, nobody said it was going to be easy, right? Thank you for joining in, though. And I'll tell you right now, for times like this, it is not for the faint of heart. And it's not for the confused either. And this is why we're grateful to have the former constitutional law professor and recognized legal commentator, the one and only Horace Cooper, with us. Horace, how you doing, buddy? Always good to have you here. You know, what I love about this opportunity with you, and you've gotten a lot of exposure on television, and rightfully so. I'll tell you, it is great every time I see you on TV, but I get frustrated, frankly, because you just don't have the time that we have here, you know, and I appreciate and respect your time so much, and because you really go deep and you're able to help us understand. And particularly right now, after the IG report has come out, to read the IG report and to hear James Comey, it's like, wait a minute, are we on parallel universes here or what? And I'm concerned that America is going to be rather confused, just like they were over Hillary Clinton's emails, where you have a report saying one thing, but there's no justice. There's no follow-up on it. It's like it was all okay, and you go, wait a minute, how do I reconcile what you just laid out versus what you did earlier to anybody that happened to be a conservative or had an R before their name?
Yeah. Here's my big takeaway. Apparently, if you are the FBI director of the most influential, most powerful, most modern law enforcement agency on the planet, it's okay to say, well, look, at least I didn't get indicted. What a bar we're supposed to be willing to accept. Even though it is obvious that there are activities, behaviors, and mindsets that are the reason that the FBI director has a limit on how long that he serves. It is precisely because there were activities and actions that had been undertaken by Mr. Hoover when he was the FBI director.
Exactly.
You could say, well, was that criminal? Was it not? Well, he was never indicted. Here's what we do know. What we do know is that the behavior, as the IG report indicates, was dangerous. It set an example to the 35,000 law enforcement officers in the FBI and the number of retirees and former officers of the FBI that we wouldn't want to have occur. FBI agents, even the top one, shouldn't be retaining information and then using it for their own political purposes. Either you bring forward an actual case using the appropriate mechanisms that have oversight, or you don't. This is not what happened here, and the IG report indicates that, and the standard isn't, well, at least I wasn't indicted.
Exactly. Well, as the IG report stated, Horace, we conclude that Comey's retention, handling, and dissemination of certain memos violated department and FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement.
No, that's absolutely right. Now, let's remember, when items are classified in various statuses, all the way up to top secret, sensitive, secret, sometimes that classification lags the existence of the information. The FBI director knows this. All of the FBI agents know this. It's not until the information is actually tagged that it is, quote, of the status. But you are informed, you are trained to understand that the information that you are presently holding can have its status changed. And, oh, by the way, you're encouraged to make an understanding or assessment yourself of what level this might ultimately be. To pretend that the mere fact that information that he never let us know that he had access to and was holding and therefore hadn't gotten a classification means that that's okay for people to disseminate it, to spread it, and to share it to unauthorized individuals. Again, we have a higher standard than I didn't get indicted. The standard should be that we are going to exceed and we're going to operate in a status of excellence. This is not the bar that the FBI director was willing to provide to our president, and yet this is the bar that he wants to not have provided for himself. The president, he didn't like his tweets. He didn't like his comments. He didn't like his posture. And he thought that merited, he thought in his mind, that merited a campaign of sorts of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. And yet he wants us to accept as the standard, well, I just wasn't indicted.
Right. And the other point that the IG made here, which cannot be overlooked, and that is the example that it set for the 35,000 employees that he's responsible for. What have his actions put into motion here, Horace, that today we may not realize, but maybe, you know, 2-3 years down the road, we may realize in an even worse sort of way, if I can say that, because what we've heard going into this is that we want to make sure this never happens again. If that is the case, what actions are being done to really do this? I mean, you know, of course, this is all starting to come out now, and we're realizing the truth of the matter. And there is no question. I mean, the arrogance of James Comey is incredible to me, because what he's asking for is that people apologize to him. And I can't jump that shark. I'm sorry.
So, a couple things. One is, we're likely to see, and I mean in the next 18 months, we are likely to see a case in which a law enforcement individual is charged with a breach that is very similar to the one that Jim Comey has skated over. And we're going to have to ask ourselves, why is this little guy having to be held accountable? Now, the standard is supposed to be the standard, and that means if the little guy's going to be held to it, James Comey is going to be held to it. But even more important than watching that hypocrisy is what you identify, and that's that we're going to have people, some 35,000 of them, having to make a careful decision not to do what he did. That's going to be harder now.
Yeah, or they're going to claim the Comey get out of jail card, right?
Yeah. It's going to be harder, though, because they saw he got away with it. How are they going to act when they interview Bill Martinez and they fill out a 302 and then nothing ultimately is decided because the appropriate protocol is we're not going to pursue charges? Do they take that information that they're holding and then they go to a local paper? This is the problem. We shouldn't be smearing people. We shouldn't be undermining people in the press. Law enforcement is supposed to follow its actual protocol of how...
Got to go to break right now. More from Horace after this.
Extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you occasionally stressed, feeling fatigued? It doesn't have to be this way. Support your body's response to all kinds of stress. Promote energy levels and nurture a sense of well-being with Quantum Nutrition Lab's Stress Support, B12, and Adrenal Support. For a limited time, all three are on special. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at QNLabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, great to have you with us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Speaking of faith, by the way, have you had a chance to see the movie Overcomer? Oh, Wow, we've got a great conversation with Stephen Kendrick coming up. And also, I've got tickets to give away. Yes, absolutely. So all you got to do, you know how this works. Drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me to put your name in the hopper. Make sure you include your address, all that important stuff, so we know how to get in touch with you. We'll probably do this by email, so make sure your email is included, because we need to get these tickets in your hands right away. So a pair of tickets, and we'll put your name in the hopper. We draw them out first come, first serve. So get your name and email address to me right away, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tickets for this outstanding movie. It's a great family movie. You're going to love it. A-plus cinematic score, the third time that the Kendrick brothers have scored that. Forget about the Rotten Tomatoes deal. They don't understand issues of faith. They don't understand faith-based movies. It's all an anomaly to them. But this is outstanding. You are going to love this movie. In fact, I can tell you, Horace, a lot of people previously, their favorite movie was War Room from the Kendrick Brothers, and now they're perplexed because they go, whoa, you know, this could surpass it. It could be my number one over War Room. That's how good it is. So
Wow, anyway, very impressive.
Free tickets for you. So make sure you get that email off to me right away, okay? All right, back with Horace Cooper. Yes, former constitutional law professor, recognized legal commentator. Horace, what people want to know is, why did Bill Barr decide not to indict or pursue legal charges against James Comey when it seems, you know, by this report that it's clear that Comey violated, you know, certainly FBI policies, and what he did, as Molly Hemingway would say, in terms of the rights of the President of the United States, he obliterated those rights.
So there's a couple things that matter here. One is, did this happen in California? Did this happen in Kentucky? Did this happen in Texas? Or did this happen in Washington, D.C.? This happened in Washington, D.C. Because it happened in Washington, D.C., you're very, very likely to find yourself with a jury pool who are going to be made up of people who are from Washington, D.C. And the actual charge, because none of the information that was classified secret was shown to have been shared. There was information that was secret that was retained. There was information that was classified sensitive that shouldn't have been shared, which is what the IG also indicates, that it actually did get shared. That is, in fact, a crime. And there was a retention of documents that should never have been retained. Because of that, you would have a large number, a high potential, that there will be jurors who will hear he retained documents and information and material from his agency, and that's what we're going to charge him with. And he's claiming he wasn't aware and didn't comprehend. There are probably going to be a higher percentage of jurors who will hear that in the Washington, D.C. area and think about that time that they kept the office car or a laptop or something of that nature, gave it back, but had technically kept it outside of the contours of the rules. Not that this isn't wrong, not that this isn't illegal, but it would make it a lot harder to get a conviction. The other part of this is that it is not simply the Attorney General looking at the information himself and making the determination. He would be asking the career prosecutors this, and they will tell him the likelihood that they could get a conviction in the Washington, D.C. area. Now, here's something that you and I and your listeners need to be cognizant of. If the federal government chooses to indict you, it is going to be a costly proposition for you, even if you prevail. It could cost you as much as $500,000 to defend yourself. And what the federal government is supposed to do is not bring a half-hearted case that, in essence, sanctions you with $500,000 penalty, even though you are acquitted. So you have to balance those concerns. concerns, the ability to succeed, considering in Washington, D.C., and does this end up being a sanction of sorts? Now, James Comey, we might say, well, he deserves it, but the same policy that would apply to James Comey might apply to you and me, and we want to be mindful of how the government exercises its prosecutorial discretion.
But yet, with Manafort, with Michael Flynn, the very same argument that you just laid out, the opposite, was used against them to threaten them to fold, was it not?
Absolutely, that's the case. And that's why this is so remarkable, the change in the contours of leadership. Now that Mr. Barr is running the Department of Justice, we're starting to see the kinds of equities that should apply in situations for all Americans. It is very unlikely that the Flynn case would ever have gone forward under the circumstances if Barr had been in. But what we had at the time was a plea agreement. And by the way, that makes it particularly hard, but that's one of the techniques that the federal government uses, particularly when it's abusing its authority. It seeks out that plea agreement so that it never has to go before a judge, never has to go before a jury. The actual substance of the information. The judge will be asked, are you aware, understanding, and comprehending that you have, in fact, violated all the requirements to meet the standard for conviction in this case? When you say yes to that, his inquiry is over, and the government is encouraged, therefore, to try to do that. In this case, now that we have gotten a chance to see so much of it, it does appear that but for pressuring him to actually plead, this case had little to no merit, and had it come to Mr. Barr on its merits, of its likelihood of success, of the substance, and all of those contours, it's very likely that no actual indictment would have come down.
Let me ask you this. Based on Hillary Clinton, and with the emails and this whole fiasco that we went through and endured, with James Comey again, now James Comey and the situation with this current, and this is phase one. There's more yet to come on this whole deal that we're going to have to, you know, process through our minds as well. Does this, Horace Cooper, open the door for a pardon for Manafort and Flynn by President Trump?
Well, I think politically, because there are two indictments here. One, I think, sits on such a weak limb that on its own would constitute some kind of abuse on the part of the government that would merit it. The other appears to be a, but for your association with the president, you never would have been indicted, but for. We have had nearly 17 years of investigation, some of it during the old Bush administration, some of it during the Obama administration, and then all of a sudden a special prosecutor with unlimited budget able to make a referral to the U.S. attorney in New York and bring that case forward, and also to do so in Washington, D.C. That looks a lot more like the kind of case that would merit a pardon.
And I would think that Donald Trump would have cover because of this.
Well, absolutely, that's true. Real quick, with Hillary Clinton, someone somewhere in the dozen or so people that assisted her in her cover-up of this activity ought to have been indicted. That's a sign of the type of nature where we didn't follow our rules. There is nothing like that with Manafort. There's nothing like that with Flynn. There's nothing like that with any of the issues of the people that are presently being pursued by the special counsel.
Well, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. There is more to come. This is just phase one, this IG report. We love to watch the hypocrisy of that that comes out of D.C., and there's more coming your way. Horace Cooper on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Horace.
This report is brought to you by the Satellite Broadcasting and Communications Association. This year, Congress has the opportunity to put an end to blackouts and rising TV costs, but we need your help. The Satellite Act, also known as Stellar, is a vital piece of legislation, ensuring that rural Americans, RV and camping enthusiasts, tailgaters, and long-haul truckers can watch broadcast network programming even in a remote location. Stellar also keeps pay TV bills in check for all Americans by requiring that TV broadcasters, satellite carriers, and cable companies all negotiate in good faith. However, if Congress fails to act before the end of the year, rural Americans, RVers, truckers, and campers will lose access to network programming, and there will be no mechanism in place to stop broadcasters from raising fees even higher, meaning everyday Americans will pay even more for the TV shows they already enjoy. Congress can act now, but we need your help. Call your member of Congress today and tell them to reauthorize Stellar and modernize our TV rules. For more, visit StrongerWithSatellite.com/Stellar. That's S-T-E-L-A-R.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's becoming more and more clear that residents across the state of Florida need to brace for a likely direct hit from what will be a major Hurricane Dorian, now expected to be a Category 4 storm when it hits the Florida coast either late on Monday or possibly early Tuesday. Officials are warning people they need to go out and get their supplies now while they still can. These people are picking things up like
canned meat. I got Spam, tuna, and Vienna sausage.
And I also bought vinegar because I like using vinegar for cleaning situations, and it's good when you don't have water to have vinegar.
The Dallas police detective, who was famously seen in photographs in his cowboy hat, handcuffed to JFK's assassin Lee Harvey Oswald when Jack Ruby shot him, has died. Jim Lavelle was 99. This is USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure, you were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Bill Martinez live.
Cape and all, ready for you. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. We've got Scott Johnston with us. His new book, Campus Land, gives us a... Okay. Some might say a sobering consideration of campus life. It is a novel. It might explain some things. Scott, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
PC culture, campus is where it all began, right?
Yes, and you said sobering, but the book is meant to be great fun.
Yes.
And it came about because 3 years ago I was at a free speech conference at Yale that 200 students tried to physically break up, having apparently skipped irony class that day. and then fast forward to my college reunion, where I was holding the door open for an undergraduate girl who refused to go through the door, accusing me of patriarchy for holding it. So I decided then that for some reason no one had written a novel about all this craziness, I was going to be the guy to do it.
Well, Scott graduated in the 80s from Yale, so he knows whence he talks about. And, it is, I say sobering in as much as that what happens is, you look at some of this video from the DSA and hear more things about coming out of the campus culture. And, seniors, you know, we look at that and we go, what is going on with our kids here? I mean, we got to learn this new language, this woke language. We've got to really have a grasp of pronouns so we don't offend anybody. Not that we, you know, wake up every day, Scott, and think, okay, well, how am I going to tick somebody off here, you know?
Well, the bar for outrage is set extremely low, and as it happens in campus land, it's really the currency of the modern campus now, and they move from sort of outrage to outrage from one week to the next. It's sort of their fuel. Unfortunately, they graduate, and it's, you know, we all know the colleges have always been liberal places, but it used to be kind of a sideshow when people graduate and start paying taxes and
right. What
happens.
And they find out the real life.
Now they turn into Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez.
Right, and they live another day until at some point, I mean, there has to be a reckoning with this. I mean, reason would dictate this, although right now that which is reasonable may be challenged only because these are the times, and we need more voices like you just to kind of bring some humor to it so that we don't take it so seriously that we explode. And that's what I'm concerned about, Scott, is that some of these kids come out and they're very serious about it. They've been in this echo chamber for so long and have they're all in on the narrative. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, how can you go out and be constructive and contribute to society as a whole if you're, some of us might declare it being damaged. Of course, they would be insulted by the mere reference.
Well, because they deliberately insulate themselves from viewpoints with which they disagree, they've lost the ability to argue or reason. Mm-hmm. So it becomes entirely about emotion and emoting. And your feelings are essentially, they trump everything else. There's an expression going around, and it's a chapter title of one of my books, which is your own, something about your own truth. State your own truth.
Right.
And when do we have our own truths? I mean, isn't there only one truth?
Yes, exactly.
Since when is there a proprietary truth that you have?
Right.
Well,
but that's been growing for quite a while, and we've seen that. And even though it gets challenged, they just ignore you because, as you say, they're very effective at invalidation. And I've referred to it as the spirit of invalidation, where, you know, sadly, the argument is thwarted, and we end up, entering the realm of mediocrity. Because if everybody is the same and there's no contraindication or contraforce against your thought to challenge you, your blade will get dull, and so will you, consequently.
And social media is part of the problem here because a relatively small number of people amplify their voices tremendously through organs like Twitter, and they cow people into obeisance.
Yeah.
Not just college administrators, who are usually more than happy to go along.
Right.
But Fortune 500 companies can be cowed and change course on something within 24 hours if a few people start screaming on Twitter.
Well, we saw what happened in New York, right? Speaking of Ocasio-Cortez, she instead of putting the welcoming mat for, an organization that's bringing, you know, thousands of jobs to an area that is blighted, and these jobs were not minimum wage jobs. These are six-figure jobs that she just chased out of town, right?
Her constituents should drum her out of office for that alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was insane. But again, that argument was driven by, and this is exactly what happens on campuses and happens in my book, these arguments are driven by a relatively small number of extremely active, extremely angry people.
Mm-hmm. Is it the power? Are we just in that era of the power of the emotion? I mean, because you have such a small number where the minority is given such place and regard that everything else is compromised. I mean, it's not even to make things better. It's just to kind of keep them quiet, I guess.
Well, you know, this has its roots in French philosophers like Descartes, who said that, you know, there's nothing you can know to be true other than what you perceive.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, your emotions are fact.
Right.
And history must, and current events must yield to your view of them,
mm-hmm.
because that's all that matters.
Scott, where are we going with all this? I mean, it's like we've been on this road for several decades here now, and it's gotten worse. And I keep thinking at some point there's going to be I'll use the word sobering, a sobering voice that cuts through it to kind of get people to stop. I mean, you know, this oversensitivity, you know, what was demonstrated at the DSA meeting recently. I found it to be quite interesting. And then I had to step away for a second. I go, it's beyond interesting. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you have a number of people that, you know, can't handle applause, and we have to use jazz hands. Our pronouns have to be corrected, and we've got to be, you know, gender sensitive these days. I mean, it's to a point that, conversations like you and I are having right now are going to be greatly hindered.
Well, I'm trying to be one of those voices, and the path that I've chosen is humor and satire. But if people learn a few things along the way, because everything that happens in my book pretty much was drawn from real life.
Mm-hmm.
I do it all in a humorous way, but, you know, hopefully people wake up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not very optimistic, I have to tell you the truth, particularly where colleges are concerned. I don't think there's any saving them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see a wave of college bankruptcies over the next 10 to 20 years, as they probably get turned into old age homes for seniors.
Right. Cranky seniors that are still in their echo chambers, no doubt. Which, you know, and the thing is, Scott, is that here you've got comedians that refuse to go to campuses anymore because they say they're just not funny.
Well, it's worse than that. There are all sorts of things they can't make jokes about. I mean, comedians are supposed to push the edge, right?
Right.
And maybe even go over the edge a little bit. And there's so many things where you can't do that on a college campus, and they get harassed and yelled at and screamed at. And there's a long list of comedians, starting with Jerry Seinfeld, who will not go to campuses anymore.
Exactly.
The left is not known for their sense of humor. Mm.
Well, and here you are in an institution where knowledge and education is promoted theoretically, and you get smart people like Charles Murray, who brings in a thought, idea, a learned man, that can bring something to the debate and enlighten people, and they chase him out of Dodge and threaten him. And I think they even actually hurt one of the people that were with him.
One of his entourage was assaulted, yes.
Yes.
Physically assaulted, not just
That's
verbally.
Just nuts. I mean, you know, like that, but it's like, do they not see what they're doing? I mean, it's the dumbing down of the institution, and welcome into the era of, what I call mediocrity, because if you've blunted the voices and there's no earnest debate, I mean, we become moronic, don't we?
Well, the victim in all this is the pursuit of truth, which is supposed to be the very mission of a university,
mm-hmm.
And it really isn't anymore, and it's more about validating feelings.
And how does that make parents feel who spend all this money, you know, for the parents who paid it and not the kids that are paying for the tuition afterwards, who, Elizabeth Warren gets it, it'll all be free, I guess, or Bernie Sanders.
This is why a lot of colleges are going to be bankrupt, because parents are going to realize that spending $250,000 so their kid can major in oppression studies and drink for 4 years is not a great value proposition.
Exactly. And then they got to spend another $250,000 in therapy just to kind of bring them into the fold, I guess, maybe. Anyway, stay with us. Scott Johnson is with us. We're talking about his new novel, Campus Land. It is a novel right here on Bill Martinez.
From the creators of War Room.
You need to do your fight in prayer.
The Kendrick brothers return to the big screen with Overcomer.
Well, I have a season with one runner.
One runner matters.
John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What have you allowed to define you?
When you find your identity, the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective.
You say I love when I can't feel a thing.
Overcomer. Now playing, starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, and Sherry Rigby. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, visit overcomermovie.com.
Is that?
That's Hannah.
Run, Hannah!
Yo,
You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, this portion of the show being brought to you by Network Capital Funding, the direct lending team. It's going to start saving you money right away in your mortgage and high-interest credit card payments. Are you in? Give them a call, 800-700-8068, no obligation. They got all the details for you, and it's all about saving you money, especially with these interest rates falling the way they are. Why not take advantage? Our conversation with Scott Johnson continues. He's a Yale graduate who has taught classes there even. He's worked in finance for 35 years. You still have the scars from teaching there at Yale, right?
Probably you wear them. I loved it.
Yes. I mean good scars. I talk scars. I mean there's good scars and bad scars, but good scars, I'm sure.
One of the themes of Campus Land is what a sort of blissful bubble a school like Yale or Devon in my novel can be. The protagonist in the novel, the storyline is he's a professor up for tenure and he desperately wants to stay inside that bubble.
Mm-hmm. So you could relate to that.
I can. I'm highly critical of almost everything that's going on campuses, but I also still sort of love the experience that I had, both as a teacher and a student, and I wish things could be fixed.
Yeah, Scott, I think you and I are a little bit alike that way, is that we look for anything, especially when it gets a little goofy, that there's got to be redemption in there somewhere, right?
I'd like to think so. I'm not terribly optimistic.
No. Well, it's quite the force, and as you say, barring, even though you're offering you know, a voice to indicate this. It's tough because they've been able to gain ground with a small minority of people, and they're using every force they can get their hands on to compel people to think like them. I mean, it's to the point now where even in the political vein, if you have a black face, you better make sure you have a black voice that goes along with it, or a brown face, then a brown voice, or a gay face demands a gay voice, whatever that means. But, you know, this is all part of the study, I guess.
Well, I remember there was a fraternity at Brown that got in trouble because they were having a Mexican party, and mm-hmm. the poster had, you know, a Mexican person with a sombrero.
Sombrero, sure.
And they were culturally appropriating.
Yeah.
And these days, if you're going to have a Mexican food truck or restaurant, you better be Mexican or you've appropriated a culture.
Exactly. So how do you eat a taco if you're not a Mexican, right?
Yeah, you better be careful what you eat.
I guess. I mean, I may be getting in trouble because we're, you know, going to Hawaii here next week, and the daughter unit has delivered her second child, my 10th grandchild, and so we're excited to go there. But also part of the tradition every time is that we go and we have Ohana, which in Hawaii, you know, could be 40, 60 people, and especially when they know Taco Night is happening at the Martinez facility, you know, we'll have, you know, like last time, I think we served up over 70 tacos. So now I'm messing up. I'm probably screwing up something on the islands, and now things are going to be out of sync because I have appropriated culture or misappropriated culture here by making friends and sharing tacos with my fellow Ohanans there in Kauai.
Well, the students at Yale have gotten upset in the past over different food selections in the dining halls because they decided it was cultural appropriation and improper for a dining hall to serve whatever the ethnic food was.
How do you live life this way? You know, you wake up every morning and you just go, okay, I got to be ticked off about something, you know. And I mean, you, instead of looking at all the good things that are there right before you, like the fact that you even woke up and you got a blue sky over you and green leaves on the tree, or you're up in the Northeast and you come into the season of color there, which is absolutely magnificent. You know, Scott, I got to tell you, I was born and raised in Southern California. So the first time I went to the East Coast, and I was in Virginia, and I saw the autumn leaves, it blew me away. It was nothing, you know, you see pictures of it and that, but when you're actually right there in the middle of it, all, it's so spectacular. And so when I came back to California, I said, you know, I was telling everybody about the vibrant colors and everything, and, you know, compared to Southern California, where everything is, you know, the color is smog brown, you know.
Well, one of the themes of campus land is ingratitude. A lot of the students at places like Yale seem just really angry to be there, and
yeah.
It's a beautiful place,
right.
It's a great school, it's you should be really happy you're there, and in particular a lot of people aren't paying a cent to be there, mm-hmm. and yet there's sort of an inverse relationship sometimes between how much you've paid to go to a school and how grateful you are to be there.
Exactly. Well, Kirk's review says this about Scott's book: this high-spirited, richly imagined, and brave novel is a delight to read. Trigger warning: it should not be read by those who lack a sense of humor. So we'll, you know, and who knows? Maybe it might be engaging enough to in that sense of humor that you may have lost. You may find in campus land, huh?
I hope readers enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed writing it. I originally wrote it to amuse myself.
Well, why not? I mean, you know, you are your first customer. You address drinking age. You say it's too high. Why is it too high?
So this is not something that's widely discussed or understood.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the drinking age should be lowered for beer and wine in particular, or only to 18. I mean, there's the obvious argument that you can go get shot for your country at age 18.
Right.
You can sign contracts. You can get married. I mean, mm-hmm. is someone really mature enough to decide to get married but not mature enough to have a beer? That's
sure.
insane to me.
Yeah, you get married, that'll drive you to drink, no matter what age. But that's another story. Go ahead.
With college campuses in particular, the increase in the drinking age has caused problems. It's caused a compliance nightmare for the colleges because some students can drink and some can't. But more to the point, the kids have not stopped drinking. What they've done is they've gone into their little silos where they can get away with it, and mm-hmm. so they've sort of formed cliques and balkanized compromised. You don't have this sort of big, wide open, fun campus event culture that once existed. And plus, they've changed their habits. They've moved from beer to hard alcohol because, you know, beer is very heavy and hard to conceal. So they mostly drink vodka now. And so they're pre-gaming and binging with vodka and other hard alcohol. And this is getting them in way more trouble than they used to get in the days of, you know, college students mostly drinking beer. And I don't know of anyone who's ever gone to the hospital because they drank too much beer unless they got behind a wheel. I think it's physically impossible. And we tried.
But you know, there's something about telling somebody no. And if you, and the other thing, too, and I've studied this before, just even in business life, is that once you start setting up, you know, barriers in such a way, you know, are you promoting goodness or badness? And in this case, if I can put it in those kind of, you know, pedestrian terms, but that you are really, you know, forcing people to, in a sense, kind of break the law. I mean, you know, that's what they do anyway. So why not? You know, what damage is it going to do? They're already drinking, and you know, beer and wine. And if that's legal, then that's one less law that they have to feel like they're breaking. Because once you start going down the law breaking road, then it, you know, one leads to another, does it not?
Well, one good thing has happened, which is drunk driving has declined immensely. But that hasn't declined because of the change in the legal age. It's declined because the penalties for drunk driving have gone through the roof.
Right.
It used to be that, you know, they'd say, get home safe, son. And the evidence that for this is that drunk driving has declined amongst all age groups, not just 18 to 21-year-olds. So I feel that, you know, while that's a point, they're misinterpreting the data on it. And I think if we move beer and wine only back to 18, you would nudge college students and others that are that age, you'd nudge them back in a slightly safer direction. And, you know, as I said, I don't think anybody thinks college students aren't drinking.
Well, is this part and parcel? I guess what I was trying to suggest, and I wasn't saying it very well, was the over-criminalization. You know, we're having a lot of discussion these days about how things have been over-criminalized, whether it's drinking, you know, getting high, dealing with certain drugs and that sort of thing. And certainly in some communities, boy, you get on the road to being a criminal, you know, at the age of 10. It's like you're always perceived as that.
Well, the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit has made criminals of us all.
Yes.
And why not just have a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit that is actually enforced, where if you go 76, you get a ticket?
Right.
But instead, we've all been made criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, because they know, I mean, well, they know, we know, 10 miles over. I mean, in 50, you can't drive 55 in Florida. If you do, you're going to get run over. You know, everything's the Autobahn in Florida.
I think it's physically impossible to drive 55 on a highway.
Yeah, I mean, you will become a bug on somebody's windshield. Let's talk Title IX. You address this in your book as well.
Sure. So this is, you know, we talked a little bit about speech and how that's gone south and how that's an ill wind in academia. But Title IX is another very big deal. It started off as a way to get some parity between girls and boys sports teams, and that's fine, and that did the job it was supposed to do. But it metastasized during the Obama years in his education department, where they made it about something else altogether. And the net effect of it has been to remove due process rights from boys who are accused of sexual improprieties. And I'm not denying that things like that happen and they should be dealt with. The problem is, as a boy, you can now be thrown out of college with a simple accusation and with no
due process.
No due process whatsoever, no witnesses, no, you can't hire a lawyer, you can't, I mean, you're essentially railroaded out very quickly. And there are 500 lawsuits from these boys against universities and counting across the country, and they're winning most of them. And girls have realized, and maybe who don't have the best, some who don't have the best motives, that they can use this as a weapon.
Sure.
Title IX is now a verb, as in, if you break up with me, I will Title IX you.
Title IX you, exactly. Well, Scott, we got to leave it there. Man, I love the book. I love your thinking and your writing. This is awesome. Scott Johnson, Campus Land. Get your hands on it. It's linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Scott. Take care.
Thank you.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Hunter's Angle.